We're going to go through some verses this morning that talk about the sin debt being paid to kind of build up to the resurrection power we now have. I think sometimes as Christians we just we forget we have that available, that Spirit of God living inside of us. You know, we focus on the negativity. We focus on the mistakes. We focus on the battles of life. And some of us just focus on the future of I can't wait to get to heaven, which is a great thing. We all want to be there one day. But there's things in life that we need to overcome while we're here. And we don't have to walk in discouragement and fear and weakness all the time just because there's battles in life. Man, we have a resurrection power living in us that causes us to walk in joy when sorrow is all around, to walk in faith when doubt is all around, to walk in strength when weakness is always trying to pull us down, to lean on the Holy Spirit and to lean on his resurrection power. So we're going to start back way back in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33 and 34. He says here, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." That's a great promise God made, isn't it? I don't know why we've gotten so far as churches from teaching this truth of our sins being forgiven. We want to keep bringing them up whenever God has already handled it. We want to stay bound by our affliction whenever God has already set us free. We want to keep reminding ourselves of all that we've done and all that we're not, in spite of all that Christ is and all Christ has done. It's about looking in the mirror and realizing, Jesus, you died for this. I may not look like much to them, but man, I'm everything to you. I was in the rough and you made me a diamond. We know where diamonds come from, right? They don't come from Wooten's jewelry. Okay, diamonds originally come from the ground, right? Coal, nasty, dirty. Are any of you willing to go work in a coal mine to have a diamond? This boy ain't. I'll go to Wooten's. I'll let somebody else do all the work. But those diamonds don't start out beautiful 1-2 carats crystal with the light hitting it and you women flashing it all like, look what I got, look what I got. Bling, 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 look what I got. It started out being like a charcoal emerald that you buy in a bag of food line. Think about that, a big black piece of coal. And it takes work and it takes fire and it takes heat and it takes a lot of effort to take something that looks like nothing and turn it into the most valued possession in the land. That's what Jesus did for us. We were coal, and he made us diamonds. We were ashes, and he made us beauty. We were ugly, and he created prettiness. Because that's what he did. Because our sins is what separates us from God. Our sins. And what Christ did, he came at Calvary to remove that out of the way. So no longer was sin staring in the face of God, but the blood he shed was now staring in the face of God. And he sees us as clean and forgiven. He sees us as redeemed. He sees us as his children. He sees us as his heritage. He sees us, the Bible says in 1 Peter, as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people called out for the service and work of God. So Jeremiah tells us, here's what Jesus is going to do. There's going to be a covenant made where your sins and iniquities will no longer be remembered, held against you, really is what it means. Now, John 19, verse 30, one verse. This is when Jesus is on the cross. Verse 30, 19, it says, "When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost." It is finished. Go to the next slide, Brandon. "It is finished" comes from a Greek, it's like Elmer Fudd, from a Greek word, tetelestai, which means paid in full. So when Jesus said it is finished, he was saying it's paid in full. We don't try to pay for something in life that's already been paid for. We know it's been paid in full. Why do we keep trying to pay for something spiritually that's already been paid for? Why do we keep trying to send righteousness up into the heavens whenever righteousness came down from the heavens and it changed us? When Jesus on the cross, the last words he said there, it is finished. The debt has been paid. Everything is square. The covenant's been fulfilled. My power has been released. And when he came out of the grave the third day, that resurrection power sealed the deal. See, if Christ had stayed dead, he'd been like any other man, just dead. But Jesus didn't stay dead. We got Easter coming up, so we'll be talking a lot next few weeks about resurrection power, about what all this really means. He didn't stay dead. 3 days later, the grave stone was moved, and he came out. The grave clothes couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. He paid a price in full, and the resurrection sealed that price forever, that we have resurrection power living inside of us. Just as Christ raised from the dead, so we too will not stay dead. And what I want to talk about specifically is how we stay dead right now in our lives, spiritually dead. We stay weak. We stay powerless. We think we have no ability to overcome anything because we say things like this: this is my lot in life. This is what I, you know, this is it. This is who I am. This is what always happens to me. You know, everything bad happens to me. Everything bad don't happen to you. Come live with me. Okay, everything bad don't happen to you. I promise. There's plenty of bad to go around. It's just a matter of how we respond to that. It's a matter of how we respond to realize, you know what? I've really started looking at things differently. Okay, Melly had a flat tire a few weeks ago, flat as a flitter. Flitter, is that right? Fritter, flat as a fritter. It was, I mean, that thing couldn't have been no flatter. If it had been any flatter, it would have been sitting on blocks. It was flat. Well, you know what? That's not fun. Man, I got a flat tire. There's no spare in there. I mean, you know, I got to go get water. You know, it's just aggravating, right? But you know what I'm thinking? Thank God I sit in the driveway when it's flat. It didn't blow out her going down the road at 75 miles an hour on the interstate. You know, it's in the driveway. She's safe. Everything's cool. And we got the tire changed and fixed. It wasn't a major deal. But, man, sometimes we just, you know, that old devil made my tire. No, the devil didn't make your tire flat. You ran over a nail. Yeah, the devil put it there. No, you put it there when you were taking nails out of the porch. Oh, yeah, but he made the hammer swing that way. No, your ignorant engineering skills swung the hammer that way. So it's just amazing how the devil gets all the blame for everything. And I bet he loves that. Yeah, I got Melly all upset. I get blamed for the cold weather. I get blamed for global warming. I get blamed for this. I get blamed for this. I get blamed for this. I get blamed for that. Well, you didn't about that, but about being cold painting the porch. Yeah, that was a bad morning. It's finished. Paid in full. Think about that. Let that process a minute. That our redemption has been paid in full. You mean I don't have to add, we don't have to add nothing to it. Yeah, but I got, no, you don't have to, look, here's the revelation. You don't have to do nothing. Nothing. Jesus paid the price. We believe and we receive what he has done for us. And we say, thank you, Jesus, that you paid in full the debt that I owed that I can never pay. I don't care how holy I try to act, how much I pray, how much I fast, how much I give, none of that adds one thing to what you right here said. It is finished. It's final. It's done. It's complete. It's a transaction that has been completely handled. And we just walk in the beauty of that. And that's what begins to change our lives. Because too many times we're still trying to. Here's an old song that, an old song, and I know y'all have heard of this. Can't think of the title of it, but it's talking about, I mean, really, it's not theologically correct, this song, but it's an old hymn. What, I'm sending my bricks up to heaven or something like that? I'm sending my, what is that old song? I'm sending something up to heaven. Is it bricks? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of you old folks know what I'm talking about? Okay. Anyway, You ain't going to answer now, are you? Anyway, talking about sending my lumber upstairs. Okay. Anyway, it's talking about we're sending, it's old hymn talking about sending my, look, you ain't sending nothing up. God sent him down. We can't build a stairway, as the old rock and roll song, Stairway to Heaven. Okay. Thank you, sending up my timber. Say, I'm not crazy. There's a song. Do you know how it goes? But it's an old song, sending up my timber. Look, you ain't sending up no timber. Here's what John 14 says. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you shall be also. Man, I ain't got to send no lumber up. God, you get my order? I ain't got to say, look, all of the things I try to send up to God doesn't make me holy. The resurrection of Jesus is what paid and sealed the deal. And I have that power here on the earth living in me, and it's time we start walking in that power and exercising what Jesus has already given to us. What if you had, are any of you superhero nerds like me? Batman movie, Spider-Man movie, Superman movie? I'm the only nerd in here, okay. Oh, Lord. Okay. Anybody else, please? Okay. So, what if you knew you had a superpower? You could scale walls like Spider-Man. Or, I'm ashamed to say, I was watching an old episode. You remember the Super Friends cartoons from back in the 70s? Meanwhile, back in the Hall of Justice. Love it. I was watching that, and Aquaman, remember Aquaman? He could telepath fish. Remember that? He would call them, they're not in a desert, they're in the ocean. Okay. Anyway, so Aquaman would telepath whales and sharks to come help him. He could just speak to them. Of course, Superman has all kinds of power. You know, all these heroes have this supernatural ability. We as Christians, we have a superpower. It's not us, though. It's Christ in us. And if we can learn to walk in that authority, what I mean by this, when you wake up tomorrow and all of life's hitting you the wrong way, it's just one of those days when you step out of bed, it just starts going south fast. You know what you do? You say, Jesus, you live in me. And I will not allow this day to be dictated by what the enemy is trying to do against my life. But I will call upon you, Lord. And I can have joy today, I can have peace today, I can have strength today, I can be of a sound mind today, I will still be a light today, and I will not let the darkness of the world pull out the light that you put in me. And we start walking what God has given us. I'm telling you, you start talking to Jesus, things get better. I guarantee you, it's a guarantees money back deal. Start talking to Jesus and see if things don't improve. But we don't talk to Jesus. We start being negative and talking about everything else. And we start, you know, bellyaching and whining and complaining. And, you know, look, that person you don't like that you work with every day, we all got that coworker we don't like. I don't care how Christian you are. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. We got that coworker. We're like, you know, if they didn't work here anymore, I'd actually be okay with that. Just saying, right, Melanie? I would be okay with that. Well, let's change how we do things. Say, you know what? I'm not going to let them pull me down. I've got a power in me of hope and love and joy and peace. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to let that come forth and let that shine and let that be the light they see. We give people too much power. Here's the deal. There should be no person has enough power in your life, except your wife, to make you have a bad day. Nobody should have that kind of power to pull you down to where you lose your way because of someone else's attitude. Just, as my shirt said when I went on a cruise, keep cruising and keep calm and cruise on. Church, keep calm and cruise on. Just keep calm and cruise on. It is finished, paid in full. Next scripture. Colossians 2:13. You being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and he took those out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross. He took all of that junk that separated us from him, and he nailed it to the cross. He did that one time. There was one offering of Jesus. There was one crucifixion and one resurrection. There wasn't multi-resurrections. There wasn't multi-crucifixions. This one offering was enough for all people for all time. The debt was paid one time for all humanity. And all we must do is believe. Yes, Lord, you did that for me. Yes, Lord. It makes no sense because, God, I still fight weaknesses and I still have struggles and I still, you know, fall off the wagon. And, God, I still do all these things. And God understands that. Don't let people take away the security and the assurance of your salvation. Don't let them rob you of that. Because the person that's pointing the finger at you, as my old preacher used to say, here's a side view. The old finger pointing there has got three more pointing back at you, right? See that? Plus half a thumb, sort of. One finger pointing at them, three pointing back at you. So when someone's pointing the finger at you, reminding you of all that you aren't, remember they got three more pointing back at them, remind them of all that they aren't. And we're all in this big bucket together. And I thank God that the blood of Jesus was enough to cover the sin debt that we owed. I'm thankful for that. And not only for our future, but for right now. You know, I've been hearing some stories lately, and a couple people have shared things with me that have been so impactful, so powerful, of how they have taken the faith that they believe in and really applied it to their everyday life, and they're seeing God do something with that. It's amazing. That's what it's about. It's about applying what you know and what you believe to where it's making a change and a difference. It's not about just coming and shouting glory and hallelujah on Sunday and then living a powerless life the rest of the week. It's about when it gets hard and when you're on your job and when you're out in the world. Is your faith so real and so alive? Is that power in you so much that it causes you to be the light and the salt of the earth, as the Bible says? Is it enough that you're walking with authority? Is it enough that you're walking with such passion of Christ that these things do not pull you down, but in the middle of Walmart, you can feel the resurrection power of Christ rising up in you in your life? That's what counts. And we have that. We just got to walk in it. The Bible says we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we learn to walk by what God calls us to walk in, not just say, I hear you, God, but also do what God is telling us. How many times your kid says, I hear you, Mom, I hear you, Dad, but they do the polar opposite. They didn't really hear us, did they? I hear you, I hear you. Well, how about doing it? I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to do what you're hearing. Apply it in your life. Spiritually, God's given us power that we are not walking in. Next scripture. This is in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 9. Look at this. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of who? God, by what? Faith. Our righteousness is not on our own through the law, but it's by God through faith. Then it goes on in verse 10 to say this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If Christ rose from the dead and we're in Christ, what does that mean for us? Anybody? Was that we too will rise from our death. If Christ rose from the dead, he's the first fruits, that means that we too, death will not hold us down, the grave will not keep us, but we also, just like Jesus died and rose, so we die in him and we rise in him. Just as our sins were put up on the cross, then also the righteousness is also bestowed upon us. He went on the cross with all of our wrath, and he came out of the tomb with all of our righteousness. That's us. We died out to sin through Jesus, but we rise up with righteousness through Christ. We have resurrection power. The power of Jesus resurrecting was so powerful. Think about this. This event of him coming out of the grave 3 days later was so powerful that it gave us eternal righteousness. That's how powerful this death was. It gave us eternal righteousness. He came out, and because he rose the third day, our sin debt's paid forever. This is a pretty powerful death and resurrection. It changed history. Man, it changed humanity. It changed everything. The resurrection of Jesus. And that power is not just for our future, but it's for us now. You'll be surprised you start really leaning on the power of God that lives in you, what you can accomplish here on the earth, what you can overcome, what you can walk in, the light you can be, the strength you can have, the peace you can have, the joy you can have, the hope you can have. I mean, man, we as Christians, we have this thing inside of us that just ought to, we're never alone. You could be laid in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and feel so abandoned, so overcome with anxiety and fear. Begin to call up on the name of Jesus, and you will feel his presence fill your room because he's alive. Look, God's not sitting on some throne up there, just sitting on a cloud floating around with a big old crown looking down at us, you know, going over Interstate 40. Oh, look at that. Woo. He's living inside of us. We carry him, Bruce, everywhere we go, brother. We carry his presence everywhere. It's not something we put on a shelf. You walk out of the sanctuary today, don't mean you leave God here. God goes with you everywhere your footsteps, every word you speak, everything your eyes see. God's there. He's a present God. I love what Psalm says, that he's a present help in our time of trouble. Present. We don't have to try to shout God down or say prayers like, Lord, if you really hear me, can you help me? Of course he hears you. He says he knows your thoughts before you speak them. Of course he hears us. When you feel your pulse in your wrist beating, you put your finger there and feel that pulse, you are feeling and experiencing the presence of God inside of you. Ba-boom. Oh, not playing. Boom, boom, boom. You're feeling his presence every time that you feel that heartbeat. He's present. Have hope in that. Next verse. Or yeah, look at this. The word power here comes from a Greek word, dunamis. And that is the root word for dynamite. Power comes from the root word, which means dynamite. We know what dynamite is, right? Here, Joe, catch. We know what dynamite is. It's powerful. It blasts open caves and busts up rock. It's powerful. So think about this. The word power, the power of Christ in us, is like TNT. It's like dynamite. It explodes within us, and it can scatter things away from us. It can clear a path for us. When the devil is all around you and all in your business, and he's following you around like that old ghost on Scrooge, Marley, them chains, he's following you around. Ooh, Marley, ooh. He's all around you. Just let that power come out, explode inside of you, and let that scatter. Say, you know what? You've got to get away from me. I bind you, I rebuke you, and I come against you. You have no power, no authority, and no foothold in my life because the power of Jesus is running you out of town on a rail. That's what we need to be saying. We have that authority because Christ lives in us. We read about these disciples and apostles who did great works for God, and we're like, well, yeah, that was for a time, that's for a season. It was not. It's for all time and for all seasons. We don't believe that we could be a Peter and John who look at a lame man and say, rise up and walk. We don't believe that God has that same power. We don't believe that we can't still help people, bring them out of the bondage they're in. They can be set free by the power of God. They can be free by his grace. They can be set free by his love. We don't believe that there's no darkness that can't be scattered by his light. Of course we can. But we're the vehicles that do that. We're the vehicles that God uses. We're the ones that go forth. We're the ones that God uses to be that light, to be that love, to be that hand, to be that healing. We need to do that and obey. And we can't do it outside the power of God. But it's there. And it's inside of us. And it will rise up when needed, when we allow God to move and allow God to work. Let God use your mouth. Let God use your eyes. Let God use your hands. Let God use your feet. Because, man, there's power that God has inside of you that can be released and touch the lives of many other people. Dynamite. Strong stuff. Next verse. Romans 8 and 11. I don't know why it's transitioning like I did that a while ago. Kind of cool to... Look at this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Think about this. The spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Now we realize that we have a resurrection as well in Christ. But that power is also for now. We don't have to stay dead. Dead in our fear and dead in our discouragement and dead in our problems and dead in our struggles. We don't have to just always carry them because they're there. I think sometimes we get institutionalized, is a term that they use in prison. Institutionalized with our battles because we've always just had it. So I just bear it. I accept it. It's part of who I am, part of what I am. Instead of saying, you know what? No, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us to quicken and make alive our mortal bodies. He can come into your death space today and cause life again. He can come into your desert and cause it to bloom again. He can rescue you from wherever you're at right now and give you new life, a new breath, a new meaning, a new start. He can do that today because he's living. We're not reading about a God of yesterday. We're reading about a God of today. We're not reading about a God that used to be. We're talking about a God that always is. And we're not even talking about a God of just tomorrow. We're talking about a God of right now. He is present. And if you have ever felt his presence, you know what I'm talking about. The reality of how you feel him inside of you, shaping you and sculpting you and influencing you and changing you. I know we got problems. I know we got battles. I know there's things people use excuses, well, genetics. And I understand genetics are real. I'm not denying that. I'm not so spiritual. I don't deny that we definitely inherit traits from our family members. I get that. But just because your dad and grandpa was an alcoholic or a drug addict don't mean you got to be one. Well, my dad was and his dad was. Hey, break the cycle. How do I do that? The power of Jesus Christ. Break the cycle. We accept cycles as part of normal life. How far have we gone off the track when we accept failures as being part of our normal life? Whenever we can say, no, I don't have to keep failing. Jesus can break this. I will not be part of the curse of my past or my family or my great uncle or my grandpa or my parents or whoever that is. I'm going to quit blaming my divorce and quit blaming my sickness and quit blaming me losing a job and quit blaming the preacher and quit blaming all the churches around and quit blaming. I'm going to stop doing all of that stuff and making excuses, and I'm going to stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit and declare who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. Man. But too many want to be the victim. It's easier to hide in failures than it is to step out in success. It's easier to stay weak than it is to be strong. We know that. It's easier to bury ourselves in the bed and say, I'm not getting out this morning, than to rise up and say, I'm facing today in the power of the Holy Spirit. But when we do that, great things happen. The same Spirit that lives in us through his Spirit who dwells in you. Man, I've got the power of the Lord dwelling, living inside of me. How do you explain someone that's really been changed? I mean, some of you know people, right? Have really been changed by the power of God. Changed. They're different than they used to be. How's that happen? Spirit of God inside of them. It's real. It's a real deal. It truly shapes us and changes us if we will let it. But like I say sometimes we don't let the Spirit of God change us. We don't let His resurrection power really change us. We want to stay in the death part of the cycle and not the resurrection part of the cycle. We want to stay in the first half and not come into the second half. We want to stay here and too afraid to step into here. Doesn't matter how your past was. Jesus, we just read it over and over, forgiving that past. Forgiving those trespasses. Blotted out your sins. Nailed it to the cross. You know what I want you to visualize this. When Jesus gave up the ghost that day and says, "It is finished," all the sins of humanity past and all the sins of humanity future were nailed. It was left at Mount Calvary. Right there. All of Chuck's, all of Jules, all of Connie's, all of Melanie's. If you could see sticky notes, Melanie sins, boo, Connie sins, boom, Chuck sins, boom, boom, I'm playing, Jewel, boom. I just pick on Chuck because I can. He knows I don't mean that. Visualize sticky notes all over the cross with your name on it. That 2,000 years before Don Childers was born, his name was already on a sticky note saying paid in full. Already there. And here's the beautiful thing. The third day when the stone was rolled away and Jesus came out of the grave clothes. See, we need to come out of the grave clothes. We're still wrapped in grave clothes. We're living our spiritual life like this. We're limited with our movements. We're bound by situations that we have not broke free from. We're up on our feet. We're not laying down flat. We're up on our feet, but we're still in the tomb. We're still wrapped up. We've not got set free. But the Bible says when Jesus came out that the grave clothes were empty. And they were folded up neatly and laid over here. And here comes Jesus out. The grave clothes, the bondage, couldn't hold him. The bondage that wrapped him up in death was broke loose by his life. We are bound by grave clothes sometimes, not realizing, man, there's been a resurrection. Has anybody told you Jesus rose? Why are we still dead? Why are we still in the tomb? Why are we still wrapped up in grave clothes? Why are we still battling battles that have already been won? Why are we having struggles that have already been fixed? Why are we still in chains when the key of deliverance has already taken place? It is time that we walk in the resurrection power of who Jesus is. And He is full of power and glory and hope today for your life right now. Because that Spirit lives inside of you. Pastor, I just don't feel His Spirit much no more. It's there. Just get away and get everything quiet and begin to talk to Him. And I promise you, you will hear His voice. The Bible says His sheep know His voice. They follow no other. You will hear the voice of your King if you'll talk to Him. You'll hear it. Is that my last verse? Yes. Yeah, pull that. Here's what Paul said. I love what Paul says here. It's a very familiar verse to us. I do not count myself to have apprehended but one thing. Paul said, one thing I've definitely got. I understand this. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I want to reach forward to those things which are before. We've got to leave behind what's holding us back and reach forward to what God has waiting on us. Some of us are so afraid of change. We're so afraid to take the next step forward. We're so afraid, what if it doesn't work? We're comfortable in our misery, if that makes any sense. Sometimes we're just, you know, there's people, and I hope you know, you're not one of them today, but if you are, then just take note and work on it. There are people that are drama-driven. The more drama, the happier they are. They love drama. They're drama queens. Always, oh, mercy, help me. Drama, just drama. I'm talking about just kids, I'm talking about adults. There's adults at Walmart, I'll be like, I'm going to go this way. You know, I love you in the spirit. But my flesh can't take you. Pastor, I ran into you. I was hollering down the aisle four times. Didn't you see me? Oh, brother, I guess I'm on my phone. That was you. Man, I'm a big fat liar, ain't I? We got to forget what's holding us back and step into what God's waiting on us. Many of us in here, we've died with him, far as, Lord, I believe you paid my sins. But we've not rose in the second part. We're not walking in his resurrection power. We know he's our Savior. We know we've been forgiven. We know we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. But we're not walking in victory now. And we need victory now. Remember there was a day you used to be happy? If you remember a time you, let's put it this way. If you remember a time you used to be happy, raise your hand. You used to be happy. Y'all holding out on me, three of you. What happened? Life happened, right? Life came. And a little bit of life chips here and chips here and chips here. I mean, I can't believe I've been married almost 26 years. I mean, it just seems like yesterday that Bill's dressing my car, my Firebird, up at the church for me to go on my honeymoon and putting stuff on it and all that stuff. And here it is 26 years later. And I don't look quite like I did 26 years ago. I know y'all find that hard to believe, but I have changed a little bit 26 years. I don't think like I used to 26 years ago. I've got burdens. I've got problems that I didn't have 26 years ago. Because me and my first got married, man, we're young. We're kids. We are absolutely, she was barely legal. I'm serious. She was 4 months from being 19, but I'm just saying, she was 18 years old. Just me and her, carefree, in the Firebird, heading to Florida, hair blowing in my T-tops out, and it was blowing, I promise you, back then it was blowing in my T-tops. We're going to Florida, carefree, starting our lives, had our whole future, got our first house, and when you first get married, man, you're putting everything on. We charged kitchen table. We charged kitchen chairs. We charged refrigerator cord. You know what I'm saying? Everything goes on credit. You're trying to build your life. So carefree. Our first kid's coming. Oh, that's such a beautiful, that's a beautiful time. Those first 6 months are beautiful time. And then they get 2 or 3 years old. And they learn how to talk and walk. Like the old joke, right? You teach them to talk, and you spend your whole life teaching them to talk and walk. Then you spend the rest of your life telling them to sit down and shut up. And so we had our kids, carefree, things are good. I'm working in the ministry, not this one. I'm associate pastor somewhere else, and, life is as good. And, I'm at Food Line, life is good. I go to Walmart, life is good. And, all that's happening. And then your kids hit teenagers, and you start, that starts changing dynamics in your home. And you get a little bit older, and you start changing. They call it the midlife crisis thing, right? And that's a real deal, I think. You start kind of changing that a little bit, looking back at your life. And before you know it, you find yourself, God, I used to be happy, and I used to walk in joy, and I used to walk in power, and I used to not let nothing get me down. And, man, now I'm just a big sack of melancholy defeat. What happened? God didn't change. The same God that was riding in that fire me and out of Florida, it's the same God that rides in the Nissan Rogue with the bent-in front fender right now. The same God is still with us. And I'm thankful for that. Is that my last verse? I got one more. One more, right? 14? No, the video. Okay, wait on that. Resurrection power. Walk in his power on the earth. We can walk in power, joy, and peace now. And we need it now. We can walk. I remember our son was having a breathing attack one night. He was a little boy. He was having a terrible breathing attack. And he just couldn't. I don't know what happened. We still look back. I don't know if it was an asthma attack trying to hit him, what was going on. But he was having a breathing attack, could not get under control. Me and Melanie went in his room. We laid hands on him and began to pray over him. And while we prayed for him, his breathing regulated, and he fell asleep while we was praying for him. I've seen God move that way. Yes, Yeah, the blood vessels in his eyes actually popped that night. I've seen God move when we go to him and we walk in the power that he's given us. Don't just think because we're such a different generation. Look, I know, you know, I grew up, I've told you this, you know, my past. I grew up in very charismatic churches, very Pentecostal type churches, people shouting, praising God. I've been in tent meetings, raising all of that. And I know we don't see that the way we used to. I think everything has a dispensation of time. But the power of God has not changed. The power of God is still the same. His anointing is still the same. His breakthrough is still the same. I just want you to know, we are a shouting church. So if you want to shout, if you got any questions about it, I don't know if I can shout here. Look, if the Holy Ghost hits you, now don't just do it because the Tar Heels won. But if the Holy Ghost hits you, then shout. Then shout. Because his presence. You know, Bruce has a nursing home ministry where he goes and plays and sings in all these nursing homes all over the area, different counties. And when you start playing and singing those old songs, brother, they all come alive, don't they? Start singing with you. They could be 80, 90 years old, can't remember what they had for breakfast. They might even remember you. Hey, son, you been here before? Yeah. Yeah, I've been here coming for a year. But when he starts singing them songs, oh, they chime in with you. They start getting happy. You know why? Because the power they felt in those songs years ago is reignited. And they feel God all over again. We can still feel. Here's the deal. Let's get off our phones, put down our social media, and talk to God and see what happens. If we would scope God as much as we scoped our Facebook friends, man, if we knew much about God and we know about each other, look what I have for dinner. I have for breakfast. Look what I dressed. I mean, my Lord, we put everything out there. Look, church, I don't care you checked into a gym. Good for you. Yay. I don't care what you have for dinner. I'm just glad you eat. If you need food, call me. I'll feed you. Other than that, don't matter. Got a new pair of shoes? Praise Jesus. You got 500 people now, you got a pair of shoes. Praise the Lord. What if we sought God that way? Oh, my goodness. What if we talked about God? Let me get back here. Like we talk about each other. Oh, man. Whew. What if our high schools were so geared to talking about Jesus the way they talk about each other as girls? See her hair today? She's wearing that. Oh, yeah. What's she thinking? She's dating him? Ugh. Loser. He's driving that. What if we talked about God and we walked in his power and his resurrection? It's changed your life. There's power today. There's power today for your life. Embrace that. I've got a song we're going to play in just a second. And you may never heard of this song, but the words will be on the screen. It's a new song called Resurrection Power. I love it. I think it's got a great message to it. And the words to me are just so powerful. That God has more for you than what you are walking in today. And there is no valley and there is no mountain that God will not meet you at. And there is no storm and there is no situation that God can't calm in your life. And there is no battle, church, there is no battle you are facing today that the resurrection power of God in you cannot help you through. Trust that. Yes, look at the baby. This is Stacy's grandbaby. How precious. How old is she now? 5 months. How old is yours? 3 months. We got two babies. I'm a year old together. Ain't that something? Beautiful. That's awesome. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to do this in right now. This is a song called Resurrection Power. I know you probably don't know it, but just kind of listen to the song. If you know it, sing along. And just I want you to get caught up during the song. And visualize yourself walking in the power God has for you. Really walking in it. Do you realize that you can be healed and set free where you stand by the power of God? Shackles can fall right where you stand by the power of God. So embrace that and receive that and focus on this song and the message of His resurrection power. Go ahead and play it, Brandon.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away.
See that old is passing away right now.
The new has come. Now I have resurrection power. Jesus, You have given us freedom.
Yes, He has.
No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of Your goodness. You have given us freedom.
Thank You, Jesus.
I'm dressed in Your royal. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I see my past has been redeemed. The new has come.
See yourself walking that power, church.
Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside of Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of Your goodness. You have given us freedom. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom.
My chains are gone.
My chains are gone.
See Your chains gone this morning.
Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom.
Hallelujah, Lord. Yes.
Freedom. You have given me freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone.
Yes, Lord.
Freedom. You have given us freedom.
Living on the inside right now.
And I'm no longer bound by sin and darkness. Living in the light of Your goodness. You have given us freedom.
Thank You, Jesus. Oh, yes.
Now
yes, Lord. We have it now. This morning, resurrection power.
Jesus.
Thank You, Lord.
Bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of Your goodness. You have given us freedom. I have resurrection power.
Yes.
Living on the inside. Living on the inside.
No longer bound by sin and darkness. Is that not a powerful song, church? Resurrection power living inside of us right now. Because God is alive. He is not dead. How powerful. Y'all be seated for a minute. Chuck, come on up here, you and Jewel. Got your guitar? Come on up here. He's getting ready. I just want to say a prayer before they sing. Lord, for every heart in here that is heavy today, for every mind that is tormented, God, for every struggle, for every ounce of sorrow and grief and pain, your resurrection power in us is enough. Your grace is enough. Your love is enough. Lord, you are enough to heal us, to heal the brokenness, to repair the damage, to give us strength today that we walk out of this church, God. We take this with us. It doesn't stay here. It doesn't remain here. But we take this power you've given us outside these doors, and we walk in it, we live in it, we breathe it, we confess it, we worship in it. Everything we do, God, goes back to the power that lives inside of us. And I pray for the chains in this place to fall, that our minds will be lifted up, that the burdens will be rolled off, that the pain will be healed that's in us today, that we will walk out. We won't stay in the dead position, God. We won't stay in the tomb. We won't stay in the grave clothes. We will come out of the grave clothes, and we will walk in the fullness of what you called us to walk in, your resurrection power. We give you praise and honor for this word and this message today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Ushers, come on up this morning and receive our morning offering. And they will pray for our offering, and they'll bless you in a song. You don't have your drummer today? No. No. Okay, good.